Today's shir is Masechta Me'ilah Daf Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rava. Just to review quickly what we learned in the previous shir as it relates to today's shir. Rav Gidla Merav made a statement. As we discussed, Zrika of a carbon accomplishes, I would almost say, opposite results by kachim kachim and kachim kalim. By kachim kachim, as soon as you designate the animal as a carbon, it becomes susceptible to mila until the zrika. The zrika, it's no longer susceptible to mila, at least the basar, the meat, the aim remains susceptible to mila. By kachim kalim, it's just the opposite. When you designate an animal as kachim kalim, it's not susceptible to meal until the zrika. At the point of zrika, the amrim becomes susceptible to me'ilah. Important point, which we've made previously and will be part of today's shir, the exception to this rule is a carbon oila. Because a carbon oila, from its inception, it's susceptible to meal because it's kachi kachim. And the zrika doesn't make any of the oila permissible to kahanim. Oila is kulal Hashem. And therefore, the me'ilah doesn't make, the zrika doesn't make a difference by carbon oila. Said Rav Gidl in yesterday's shir that if, and again, this is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara that we've been learning with, that if the shechita and the zrika were done with a machsheves pigel, so that zrika will not take away the susceptibility of kachim kachim from being me'ilah, nor will it bring kachim kalim to susceptibility to me'ilah. Begins the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rava. Ask Rav Ashi to Rava. The Mefarshim actually point out that Rav Ashi was only born after Rava died. So it's difficult to understand how Rav Ashi could have had a conversation with Rava. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is it's not actually Rav Ashi, it's Rav Asi. Another pshat is, as we learned at the end of this year, we see Rav Abba is involved in this sugya, and it's not Rav Ashi speaking to Rava, he's speaking to Rav Abba. And another pshat is that there might have been two Rav Ashis, and there was a Rav Ashi who lived after Rava. That's the Rav Ashi we usually have in Shas, but there was another Rav Ashi who lived earlier and was a contemporary of Rava. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rava, Vama Ula. We learned many times in Masechta Zvachim and Masechta Menachos, that there are four avoidas by a behema, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. There are corresponding four avoidas by Karbon Mincha, Kmitza, putting the Kaimitz into the Keli, Halacha, and Haktara. And those four corresponding avoidas travel consistently with each other. So Ula said, Kamitz Pigel, if you did Kamitza, and when you did the Kamitza, you had a machshava that it should be Pigel, Shehel al Gabi Mizbeach, and you now put that Kamitza on the Mizbeach, even that Kamitz on the Mizbeach, even though that Kamitz is now Pigel, by putting it on the Mizbeach, Poka Pigula Mimenu. It loses the Issa Pigel, and the halach that we've been discussing so many times, of an elulah yerudu, they may remain on the mizbeach. And as the Rishonim point out, why does Ula choose to teach us this halacha that if pigel is put on the mizbeach, it remains there? By the case of a karim mincha that the kamitz is pigel, he could have said the same halacha if he put a piece of meat that's pigel on the mizbeach, it should remain there. Why did he choose to teach us this halacha by kamitza? Say the Rishonim. Because if you look at a piece of meat, it's one piece of meat. So if you put one piece of meat on the mizbeach, we understand that there's a halacha, even though it's pigel, it can remain there. But if we have the kmitza, every crumb is looked at individually. And since every crumb is looked at individually, maybe if one crumb is on the mizbeach and one crumb is not on the mizbeach, the one that's not on the mizbeach shouldn't be there. So we say we look at it as one unit as well. But what's relevant to our shir, to our sugya, is what happened here. We only had kmitza. And what is the basis of Rav Gidl's position? That a carbon is not considered pigel unless it was pigel both by the shechita and by the zrika, by the kmitz and by the aktara. But isn't Ula saying that it already becomes pigel by the kmitz alone? How's Rav Gidl going to explain this? The kmitza asked the Gemara Hayne Shechita, and yet we see that it becomes full-fledged pigel at the point of kmitza, and it doesn't have to have a follow-up point. Answers the Gemara, that's not what Ula meant. Amalei, what Ula meant was isur de maisel de pigel, something that would ultimately lead to pigel, kmitza being the first step. But it does, like we learned yesterday, but it doesn't mean that the carbon here being a carbon mincha becomes pigel just through kmitza alone. No. It doesn't become pigel, or full-fledged pigel, as Rav Gidl said, until the entire process is completed. Ask the Gemara, Vaktani, how can we say that that's pshat in what Ula meant? Haven't we learned, and here too the Mefarshim make an interesting observation, usually when the Gemara uses the words Vaktani, it refers to a Mishnah or a Braisa. Here we're not speaking about a Mishnah or a Braisa. He was speaking about a statement made by an Amayra, Ula. So how does the Gemara use the wording Haktani? So there are some, because of this, take out the word Haktani here. There's some girsis. But the way most Mefarshim explain is because what Ula is about to say is a Kal V'chomer. And we know that many Mishnayis and many Braises mention Kal V'chomers. So since the style that Ula is following here is the style of a Kal V'chomer, the Gemara feels comfortable in using that type of wording. And it's a very ambiguous line that the Gemara uses. It's not really relevant to Pshat in the Gemara, but I'll do the best I can. What Ula means to say is as follows, that if you have a koimitz, again, we're speaking about the koimitz of the Karim Mincha, that is pigel, that the halacha is that in order for it to be considered pigel, we've learned many times, the only disqualification you could have is the machsheves pigel. If you haven't done all of the avoidus, and again, when we speak about a karmincha, we mean the kmitza and the kabbalah and the halacha and the aktara, then it can't be pigel even though you had a machsheves chutzlos manai. So if that haktara makes this kmitza pigel, hu atzma lekoshken, so certainly the kmitza is pigel, and if it would be on the Mizbeach, it should remain on the Mizbeach. For if it won't remain on the Mizbeach, then you won't have Akhtara. And if you won't have Akhtara, you can't have Pigel. But again, what does it seem to be saying here? That a Koimitz itself could be Pigel. You don't have to have any more. Rav Gidl said not like that. Rav Gidl said you have to have everything completed in order to have Pigel. And so the Gemara is the same Teretz. Hanami is sur de maisel de Pigel. It doesn't mean that it itself becomes Pigel through Kmitza. It means that becomes pigel, that kmitza is the first step towards it becoming pigel. A word of introduction. Gemara Masechta Mishnah. We learned the Masechta Zvachim Dav Chof Tes Amid Beis. We speak about disqualified machshavas. We spoke about them in the first Mishnah of our Masechta. Chutz L'Zmanoy and Chutz L'Mekoymoy. They travel together, but they're not really identical. Chutz l'zmanoi makes a carbon pigel, that if somebody has a machsheves pigel, that carbon, and he eats from that carbon, there's a chiyuv karis. Chutz l'mekoymoi disqualifies the carbon, but it doesn't make the carbon have a chiyuv karis. So one of the interesting halachas that we learned when we learned Masechta Menachos is as follows. First we'll say the halacha that everybody agrees to. That let's say somebody first had the koyim, first had a machsheves chutzlum koymai on a carbon, and then he had a machsheves chutzlus banoi on that very same carbon, that carbon will never be pigel. It's already disqualified because it's pigel. It's already possible because of the chutzlum koymai. What we have there, a machloikis, is between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda in the following situation. Somebody first had a machsheves chutz l'zmanoi, and then he had a machsheves chutz l'mekoymoi. The Rabbanan said, it's not pigel, because it isn't just chutz l'zmanoi. And I always comment. It turns out that by him having another bad machshava, he ends up winning. Because if he would have just remained with the chutzlos manei alone, it would be pegel with a chi of karis. And here, because he also added another aveira, that besides having the machshavas chutzlos manei, he also had the machshavas chutzlom kaimai, he saves himself from a chi of karis. But that's the din. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says it makes a difference what comes first. If the chutzlom kaimai comes first, then indeed the chutzlos manei will not make a pegel. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the chutzlos manei comes before the chutzlom kaimai, then the chutzlom kaimai doesn't take away the pickle. However, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if in one avoida there was a combination of machshavas, at least according to Ilfa that we're going to learn, that in one avoida there was chutzlos manei and chutzlom kaimai, I don't care which came first or which came second. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Because Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda is Tfois Loshen Rishon. We always look at what came first. It makes a difference within one avoda or within two avodas. But Ilfa says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who takes the stricter opinion, will only take it within two avodas. And we begin. Amle Ravina Lervashi, V'amar Ilfa. Hasn't Ilfa taught us Machloikis, the Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? If Chutzlum Kaimai followed Chutzlum Manoi, is that carbon still pigle on that? Is only machloikas b'shtei avoidus. When he had these two separate machshavas and two separate avoidus. Kigoyin the Omer, for example, where he said, Areni shoichet simen rishon chutzlos manoi, v'simen sheni chutzlum kaimai. As we learned many times in Masechta Chulin, what does shchita mean? That you shech the two simonim, the kon and the veishit. And what the Gemara is trying to teach us, explain all the rishonim, by using this specific example, is that we could all understand that Kabbalah and Halacha, for example, are two distinct avoidas. But we would perhaps think that the shechita of each simen is not considered a separate avoida. Teaches us Ilfa, along with teaching us how to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that the shechita of each simen is considered a separate avoida. To review the concept that we learned in Masechta Zvachim, it's called Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. So if somebody had the first Shachat Simarishin, the first Simon was slaughtered with Chutzlos Manai, with a Machshavas Chutzlos Manai, the Simon Sheni Chutzl Mekaimai, and the second Simon was Shechted Chutz Mekaimai, where it says Rabbi Yehuda, this carbon is already pigle, and the second Machshavas won't change that. Avo Bavoida Achas, if within one avoid itself, that means within the Kabbalah itself, let's say, he had two machshavas. Even Rabbi Yehuda, the Kula Alma, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, Erev machshavas havi, we have a combination. And as the Rishonim point out, this point could have been made, the point that the Gemara is asking now, could have been made even according to Rabbi Yochanan. And even could have been made according to the Chachamim. But it comes out strongest through Ilfa's understanding, and that's why the Gemara chooses to make the point through Ilfa. What is the Gemara saying? How did it become pigle? During the Shechita. What did Rav Gittel say? It only becomes pigle after everything. Here we're discussing which machshava came first, which machshava came second. Is it considered two machshavas because it's all one Shechita? But the point is, all we're talking about is Shechita. All we're talking about is Shechita. And we're saying that it's not considered, but Rav Gittel says, you can't just look at Shechita alone when we speak about Pigel. Answers the Gemara, Hachinami, the way to understand the Gemara says, the way to understand that Gemara, says the Gemara, is L'chizorek Tigle Milsa, Avada, it won't be Pigel just after the Shechita. It only will be revealed that it's Pigel at the end, after the Zrika, then we will begin to analyze was it Avoidachas, was it Shtei Avoidus, and we'll start looking at the opinions of Yudah Chachamim. But absolutely, says the Gemara, you can't have Pigel until after the Zerika. Interesting question that the Michel Schinnach poses. The Gemara isn't saying that it only, the Gemara is sort of changing a little from what Rav Gittel has been telling us. Till now we've understood Rav Gittel that it doesn't become Pigel until everything is done. Here the Gemara uses different wording. Here the Gemara says, l'chizorik, after the Zrika takes place, Tigli Milsa then will see that it was Pigle from the outset. Why? The Michas Chinuch discusses the following Shaila. We know that you can never get a punishment, Ein Ayin Shem El Mekayem Asirin. You always have to give Asra first. So what happens if a Shechita was done with a Machsheves Pigle? And I see the Kayin doing the Shechita with Machsheves Pigle, and I warn him or whoever, if you will eat that carbon, you'll be chayiv karas. Is that a valid asra? An argument can be made that it's not a valid asra, because it's not pigle until we know that, as we've just been learning, until the zrika takes place, and it would therefore remain a hasra sofik, which we know that halacha is hasra sofik lo yishma asra. That's one argument that could be made. But there's an argument that can be made the other way, because our Gemara just said that, yes, you have to wait for the zrika. But after the Zrika takes place, when is it considered Pigel? From the Shechita. And therefore maybe it's not considered Asra Safik. From here we see that when you have a Shaila, and there's a Gevaldig Gevart from, a Gevaldig Tshuva from the Marsham, based on this Gemara, the beauty of the Tshuva is, besides that it's brilliant, is how a Gol B'Yisrael, Brzhan Rov, Marsham, can connect Kol HaTorah Kula. We all know this Gemara is a Gemara that we're all very familiar with. It appears many places in Shas. If you have a community, has 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, and you find a piece of meat in the street, call the parish Merubah Parish. We assume the meat is kosher. If you walked into a store, but you don't remember which store you walked into, so call, each store is Kavua, call Kavua Kamechsa Mechsa, even though 9 stores are kosher and 1 isn't, it's not considered more than a suffix. That's a halacha that we all know. The question that was raised is as follows. Interesting situation. Somebody had in his drawer 10 spoons. 9 were meat and 1 was milchig. A milchig spoon got mixed up with the fleishig spoons. And he took 1 out. Obviously doesn't know which one he took out. And used that spoon afterwards to mix a fleishiger soup. And there's no shishim against the spoon. So if it was the milchiger spoon, he has a real issue. If it was the fleishiger spoon, it was the fleishiger soup, he has no problem. So now let's think about it. At what point did the shaila come? The shaila didn't come when he took the spoon out, because when he took the spoon out, there was no problem. So he took a spoon. There's nothing wrong with taking a spoon. So the shaila only began when he used the spoon later on to stir his pot. So how do we look at this issue? Do we look at the issue from when he took it out? When he took it out, it was a kavua. He had 10 spoons in a drawer, like 10 shops in his town. Or do we look at it when you use the spoon, where you find the spoon? That's called the parish, Merubah Parish. Says the Marsham that we don't look at the moment when it was taken out, because as I just said, the moment it was taken out, I had no shaila. There was nothing going on. When did the shaila begin? When I actually used the spoon. And our Gemara teaches us that the defining moment that we look is when the thing happens. That's why Zrika makes it into pigle, not shchita. I need shchita, but that's not the defining moment. And our Gemara is teaching us there's always a defining moment that has to be looked at when we speak about halacha. Ask the Gemara, yesterday at the end of the shir, the Gemara quoted a b'raisa, Masechta Menachos, the b'raisa about the Karma Taida. And we keep on defining that what does Shechita and Zrika mean, that what does it mean whenever the Gemara uses these words? It means that you had Zrika as well. You had Shechita and you had Zrika. So yesterday we learned that if somebody had the Lechem of the Karma Taida and he'd had the Machsheves Pigel, the Aloch is Kidei Shalechem. Ask the Gemara from the other point that Rav Gittel made. Let's think about it. We're saying that whenever there's a braisa that uses this type of wording, it means that there was shechita and the zrika. We're also learning, and we said it in our introductory remarks to today's shir, that by kachim kalim, if you had shechita and zrika or the machsheves pigel, it doesn't make it into, it doesn't become susceptible to mila. So ask the Gemara why in the braisa on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis did the braisa say kidei shalechem, which presumably means it becomes susceptible to Mila. According to Rav Gittel, when you did Shechita and Zrika with Pigel, It doesn't become susceptible to Me'ila. Ask the Gemara. Ihachi, if that's the way we're explaining, that in all these situations you had Shechita and Zriku and Machshavas Pigel, and we're going to say that that Braisa also means Ad Zarek, why is a Kiddush Alechna should be susceptible to Me'ila? It shouldn't be susceptible to Me'ila, as Rav Gittel said, because you had a bad Shechita and a bad Zriku. Answers the Gemara. When the Braisa there used the words Kiddush Alechem, it had a whole different meaning. My Kiddush, Lipasel. It doesn't mean that it's susceptible to Me'ila. It isn't susceptible to Me'ila. Kach and Kalm that didn't have a proper Shechita and Zriku with Pigel is not susceptible to Me'ila. What it means is Bais Reifa, but it is Pasel and must be burnt. Says the Gemara, Lema Mesailei, perhaps the following Braisa is a Raya to Rav Gittel. It says in a Braisa, HaPigel Lo'olam Me'alamba. If a carbon is Pigel, it always remains susceptible to Me'ila. What is the Braisa ostensibly saying? Lav, the Izrik Dam. That the Braisa is saying that even though Zrika took place, and even though, as we said so many times in our Shurim, normally Zrika takes away susceptibility to Me'ila, here it doesn't. Lav, the Afrika of the Izrik Dam, but since it was a Zrika with Pigel and a Shechita with Zrik with Pigel, it won't take it away, which is exactly Messiah, which is exactly what Rav Gittel said. Says the Gemara Loi. The Braisa here is speaking about the Loi Zarek Adam. There was no Zrika. So, like the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have right away asked that the wording of the Braisa certainly doesn't point in that direction. Because the Braisa used the words we just read, Lo'olam. Lo'olam seems to mean that it was Zrika. But the Gemara asks the question. Eat the Loi Zarek Adam. You could have the best carbon in the world, asked the Gemara. If you had no Zrika, it's always susceptible to Me'ila. There's no carbon that's kachin that loses its susceptibility to Me'ila before the Zrika. So ask the Gemara, if you're saying that that Bryce is speaking about a case, the Loi Zarek Adam, my lememra. It's obvious. I don't need a Bryce to tell me that. Answers the Gemara, El Doylem de Zarek. It's talking about a case that there was Zrika. And again, if there was Zrika, so isn't that a writer of Gittel? No. Because the Kitanya he, that Bryce is not speaking about your regular kachim. That Bryce is talking about a carbon oiler. Because we've learned, I said at the beginning of today's shir, that a carbon oiler, even with the best Zrika, and certainly with a bad Zrika, remains susceptible to Me'ila after the Zrika as well. And that's what happened over there. We're not talking about a different type of carbon, we're speaking about a carbon oiler. Ask the Gemara, Iba Oila, it was speaking about a carbon Oila, Pshita, that it remains susceptible to Zrika. The Gvayihi Kula, the whole carbon is carbon Oila, and a carbon Oila never, as I've been saying repeatedly, loses its susceptibility to Me'ila. One question. Void. Let's continue learning that Braisa, asked the Gemara. The Ktani Sefer, it says in the Sefer of that Braisa, Londama, if the dam was left overnight, afa pishachaz of a zarkai, that means you have the dam of the carbon. You left it overnight, which we know is a serious disqualification, and then in the morning you did zrika, mi'alamba. Then you'll be over mi'ila. Says the Gemara, i'am bishlam b'chatas. So if we're going to say that rice is speaking about a carbon chatas, that's why we could understand that even though the Zrika took place, and even though Zrika normally removes the halacha pigel, this Zrika won't remove the pigel. Iyam bishlam b'chata shaper. Iyalmet ba'ola tzrich l'meima. Of course that Zrika wouldn't take it away. Why wouldn't it take it away? Because even a good Zrika doesn't take away Me'ila. So certainly a Zrika which follows the Alina doesn't take away the Me'ila. So isn't the Sefer a klara raya that we're speaking about a karma chatas? And the Bryce is teaching us that the Zrika, which is not a good Zrika, here because of Lina, in Rav Gittel's case because of Pigel, does not have the capacity to remove Me'ila. Says the Gemara, Sefer Vad Mesailei. This Sefer, as we just explained, clearly seems to indicate that we're speaking about a bad Zrika by Karmichatos, and teaching us that a bad zrika doesn't take away mila. Reish Shemai. But now the question is, do we have a raya from the reish or not? On one hand, we could argue, Hoyo Masayle Sefer. If the Sefer, as we just finished proving, is a raya to Rav Gittel, for there is no other way to explain the Sefer, Masayle Nami Reisha. It must be that the Reisha should be explained as well, that it's speaking about a carbon chatos, and it too will be a raya to Rav Gittel. Says the Gemara, V'chi Sefer, Nami Masayle. Says the Gemara, you know, even if you'll say that the Sefer does represent a raya to, does speak about a karma chatos, it's not a raya. Why not? Maishlo, halona de kovet be yadayim loy mahani zrika. Lefuki midei mi'ila. Machshava, like kovet be yadayim mahani zrika. Lefuki midei mi'ila. What this means is as follows. Let's look at the case that we spoke about at the top of the Amid. What happened? Yad halona stam. And then you did Zrika. So the Gemara is assuming that Halonastam is a psul, and the Bryce is teaching us that a Zrika that takes place after Halonastam does not have the ability to take away Mi'ila. And the Gemara is assuming that the same thing with a Zrika that's done with Pigel doesn't have that capacity. Says the Gemara, who says that Halona and Pigel should be treated the same way? Halona may be a different type of disqualification than Pigel. And therefore, Zrika that follows Halona indeed doesn't have the ability to take away Mi'ila. But a Zrika with Pigel does. What's the difference? Says the Gemara. Halona represents an act. You did something. You left the animal. You left the blood. Pigel is only a machshava. So the Mefarshim make a number of very important observations here. The first observation is that true? You could argue just the opposite. By Halona, you didn't do anything. You just sat, Sheval Taisa. You left the blood. Pigel represents that you actively had a machshava. You actively had the raw machshava. So how does the Gemara consider Halona more of an act than Pigel? So Mefarshim respond. This is a very difficult question. The best teretz that I found to this question is that Pigel maybe is more of an act, considered more of an act than Halona, but Pigel isn't obvious. Because where does Pigel take place? Pigel takes place in one's mind. Halona is out there for all to see that you left the blood over. And therefore, since Halona is more obvious, more noticeable than Pigel, Halona is considered more of an act than Pigel. One issue. But furthermore, the Mefarshim certainly point out that even if our Gemara, as complicated as it is to understand, argues that Halon is considered more of a Maisa than Pigel, it's not to say that Halon is considered a Maisa. Nobody could make the argument that Halon is Maisa. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say, and again, there's a beautiful Marsham connected to this in the Das Torah, that there are different degrees of acts. In other words, not everything is black and white. Things have degrees. Where does the Marsham discuss this? The halacha is as follows. If a man wants to have relations with his wife, and she tells him, Tamei Anoichi, I'm Tamei. And then she says, we can have relations. There were no Zayin Nakim in between. There was no time for her to go to the mikvah. We could say if she gives it a masla, if she gives an excuse why she said it, I wasn't feeling well, whatever the reason is, she's believed. That's one side that the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Another situation that the Shulchan Aruch paskens, in those days, the minig was that when a woman was in nida, she would put on special clothing. And if a woman put on that special clothing, and then afterwards she said, and then afterwards she's prepared to have a relation with her husband, not in the proper span in between, she wouldn't be believed with an amasla. Why wouldn't she be believed with an amasla? Because the fact is that that she went so far, not just to say something, but to do something, that we don't accept an excuse. But then the Rasham discusses the following situation, which is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. We know that when a woman is a nida, she's not supposed to take something directly from her husband. So her husband passed something to her, and she refused to accept it, which seems to be a sign that she's a nida. And afterwards, she tells her husband, I didn't accept it to you, not because she gives an excuse. She gives an amasla. Whatever the amasla is. So the question is, how does the halacha view this situation? Because in this case as well, we've seen that the halacha treats different categories. There's a category where there was no maisa, where she didn't put on the clothing, and there's a category where she put on, she just said it, and there's a category where she actually put on the clothing. And now, the halacha needs us to decide how to look at this, which categories. We see that there are different degrees. Continues the Gemara. Lema homicide. Says the Gemara, let's say, so we haven't been able to bring a raya from that braisa. Why haven't we been able to bring a raya from that braisa? Because the second part of the braisa was speaking about halona, not about pigel. And the first part of the braisa explained the Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Rishonim, that we said it should seemingly be speaking about a karma chatos. So they say, no, it's not a raya. We'll say it's speaking about a karma oila. And the point that they're trying to teach us is there pigel right after shechita alone? Or do you have to have zrika? But we don't have a raya to Rav Gittel. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from the following braisa. Lema homicide. This braisa should be a raya. The braisa says, ha pigel bekotche kotchim meyalimba. That if you have a carbon which is kotche kotchim, even though it's pigel, it's still susceptible to mila. What is this braisa teaching us? Lav, isn't the braisa speaking about a situation? Da'afagav de zorik. The braisa is teaching us that even though zrika took place, it doesn't make a difference. Because it was a zrika with pigel, and as Rav Gittel has been teaching us, even though normally zrika takes away mi'ila from kotche kotchim, not a zrika pigel, or masaile. Says the Gemara, the loy zorik. No, there was no zrika. Ava zorik, but what would be the halacha if there was a zrika? Hachinami, the Gemara is suggesting that the Brice is teaching us that there was no Zrika. And that's why it's still susceptible to Mila. And again, here too do Rishonim say, and what's the Chiddush of the Brice then? The Chiddush of the Brice is that even though there was Shechita, the Shechita alone doesn't count in making it no longer susceptible to Mila. Because we're going to learn a Gemara later in the Masechta that suggests, actually, it's going to be tomorrow, Shir. That's going to suggest that after Shechita, the animal is no longer susceptible to Mila. So the Brice is teaching us that we don't say that. But it could well be Avozorik, Hachinami, if Zrika took place, even though the Zrika was a Zrika of Mila, the Eimai Alamo. It's no longer susceptible to Mila. It makes no difference what type of Zrika it was. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the Braisa, let's continue learning the Braisa. Amai Ketani Sefer, it says in the Sefer, Bekotchen Kalim Eimai Alamba. The Bekotchen Kalim, it's different. And Bekotchen Kalim, it will not become susceptible to Mila. Lifik Bresha, and that Bekotchen Kalim before the Zrika, it isn't susceptible to Mila. Ask the Gemara, why does the Braisa have to differentiate between Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kachim? The Gemara could have remained speaking about Kachim Kachim. And Lifnei Bereishis V'Lifnei, the Braisa should have made the following distinction. The Lifnei Zrika, as long as Zrika didn't take place, Mayalimba. Lach Zrika, but after Zrika, Mayalimba. Because we're learning now that it doesn't make a difference what type of Zrika. Answers the Gemara, suggests the Gemara, isn't that clearly an indication? The fact that the Braisa chose to distinguish between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim versus distinguishing in Kachim Kachim itself between Lifnei Zrika and La'ach Zrika, isn't this clearly an indication? Because that isn't the way to look at it. And just because Zrika took place doesn't mean it loses the capacity for Mila. Says the Gemara at first glance. It seems that the Sefer is right to Reb Gittel's Vart. Says the Gemara, if we're saying Sefer Mesailei Umasaile Seifa. Hoyle Masaile Seifa. If the Seifa is a Raya, Masaile Reisha, shouldn't it be that the Reisha is well? So the Gemara, no. Kachm Kalam Psikale, Hachale Psikale. The Gemara wanted to make a distinction between Kachm Kalam. The Gemara preferred to make a distinction between Kachm and Kachm Kalam versus making a distinction between Kachm, before, because Lufnei Zrika and Lach Zrika. And the way the Rishonim explain is as follows. By Kachm Kalam, a beautiful pshat based on Tosfos. By Kachm Kalam, the Gemara is agreeing that if there was a bad Zrika, it won't be susceptible to Mila. By Kachm Kachm, it will agree that if it had a bad Zrika, by Kachm Kachm, the Gemara will say even a bad Zrika takes away Mila. And that's why the Gemara wanted to say things that are very clear. By Kachm Kalam, Zrika is going to make a difference, by Kachm Kachm not. By Kachm Kachm it always does, by Kachm Kalam it doesn't. And the question is why? We're saying a Gevaldig Chiddush. Because the Gemara now is sort of limiting our acceptability of what Rav Gittel said. And the Gemara is suggesting now that we only accept Rav Gittel's Vart, that a bad Zrika doesn't take away Mi'ila by Kachm Kachm. But it doesn't accept Rav Gittel's Vart, that a bad Zrika can't make Kachm Kalam susceptible to Mila. Why? The Farshim say a beautiful Vart. It's much easier to break something than to make something. What's the story about a Kachm Kalam? It wasn't susceptible to Mila. You want that the Zrika should make it susceptible to Mila. Only a good Zrika could do so, not a bad Zrika. But what was the case by Kachm Kachm? It was susceptible to Mila. And now you want to break that. It's easier to break than to create. And therefore, by Kachm Kachm, it could well be that the halach is that even though it had a bad Zrika, because it was a Zrika's pigle, doesn't make a difference. Every Zrika takes away Mila.